witches, would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hey, this is Bob from Best Coast.
Yep. This is Bethany from Best Coast. Bob and I used to play in a band together that was not suitable to either of our musical tastes. And we discussed pop music a lot when we were in this band together. And we would talk about the Beach Boys and the Beatles, and our bandmates hated pop music, essentially. And we were always really bothered by that. And we just loved straight up pop music. So when I started writing songs for Best Coast, I just wrote Bob and was like, hey, remember those conversations we used to have about the Beach Boys and the Beatles and pop? Do you want to be in this pop project with me? And he said yes.
Back when you were in this aforementioned mystery band that was playing Lithuanian punk goth, which I've now decided that's probably what you were referring to. Did you ever think for a moment that you'd be sitting here today and that you'd be playing a venue like this or playing the festivals you're going to play in the UK this summer? You know, was there any dream whatsoever of it? And did you ever think, we're going to get there, this is going to happen? And whatever there is, by the way.
Not at all. Everything that has happened to us has been a total surprise. Like when we first started doing Best Coast, we didn't even know if we were going to play live or anything. It's just recording in my bedroom.
I've wanted to be a performer since I was a kid. Like I have been performing since I was a kid, and it was always like a dream, you know, like, but it wasn't something that I was really chasing after. It was just kind of something that like, I figured if it was meant to happen, it would happen. But when we were playing music together before Best Coast, I think we were both just like, I wanted to go to school to be a writer. I don't know what Bob was doing at the time, but like, I didn't think like in a couple of years down the line, we'd be like in a band together doing very well. Never thought that happened. So
what I think is really important to define for people is that a band can be two people plus a lot of people that play with them. And what I read in the blog, and I'm paraphrasing, was that this band will always mainly be the two of you.
From the very beginning, like I wrote all of these songs in my bedroom and then sent them to Bob. And I don't trust very many people with these personal like things that I'm writing about and these songs that I'm making. And so to have the kind of working relationship that Bob and I have, I think is very, very, it's not very common. Like I just think that when a band is like six people or four people and everyone's writing in a room together, that's how arguments start. That's why bands break up. That's why members get kicked out of bands. It's because the more is not the merrier, in my opinion, when it comes to songwriting and when it comes to music. And I think that for us, it's like, I trust Bob to take these songs that I write and add to them and collaborate with me on them. And he trusts me to, well, I would imagine he trusts me to write good songs. But we work together really well and we get along really well. And I think that there's just no reason to add more madness to something that can already be a little bit mad sometimes.
This band, more so than a lot of LA bands, it definitely defines, you know, you've said it a lot, you know, from the name, which we're not going to go into the derivation or anything like that, from the cover of the new record. You know, you're very much owning being an LA band. Was that intentional for moment one? Did you talk about it, or was it just kind of when you wrote the songs in the bedroom about, you know, trials and tribulations and other things we'll talk about later, that it just felt LA?
I mean, I started this band, like I started this project and I started writing these songs after I moved back from New York back to Los Angeles where I grew up. Where I've spent the majority of my life. And I think that my appreciation for LA like kind of exploded. And so I don't think that, I mean, obviously we called the band Best Coast because we love California and we wanted that to be known to people. But I don't think it was so much intentional that like everything be California related. I think it's just kind of like inherently who we are. We're very California. We're very Los Angeles. Like, neither one of us wants to live anywhere else. We don't, we don't enjoy most cities as much as we do Los Angeles. And we're very like open about that. And people know that about us. But I think that it kind of just like seeps out of us. Like Los Angeles runs through our blood and it kind of just seeps out of us because it's just in us as people, I think. So it's kind of hard to avoid it.
I'm going
to
throw out lines that you won't want me to throw out, but I'm going to throw them out anyway because it's going to get us into a good discussion. I love this line from the LA Times review of the album. No protective layer of distortion. Tell me a little bit about a protective layer of distortion. It sounds like a sound condom to me.
Yeah, that's a pretty stupid term.
I think that makes a lot of sense to me because I've said in interviews before, like, I wanted to use a lot of distortion and a lot of reverb to hide behind the fact that I was not confident as a musician. As a songwriter, I was confident, but as a guitar player, I was like, put on the most reverb you can and the most distortion because I don't want people to hear how sloppy I am. And I thought that the more the songs were supposed to be sloppy, that was part of making this lo-fi DIY kind of style record, was that we could get away with being sloppy and messy and Ramones-esque. And like, I think that as far as like reverb for my vocals and stuff went, it was like, I didn't want people to know that I could sing. I don't know why, but it was not something I was ready for the world to know. And now I'm done hiding behind effects and I'm just kind of, I mean, we do a cover of Storms by Fleetwood Mac in our set now that like, I'm just full belting. I don't care anymore. There's no effects going on. It's just like, there's nothing to hide behind. I think that the confidence grew from being on the road for nearly 3 years and just kind of it developed that way. So that quote actually, it's a little pretentious. Like it's a little bit like writer, like I'm going to try to make something very metaphorical and picturesque here. But I do understand kind of what that person is saying because I feel like I did hide behind, at least I did. I don't know. Bob didn't, but I did.
The first record is great. And the first record does have a sound, but the second record really does show that you're not hiding behind anything, that you can really sing. And John obviously heard your voice, heard these songs, said these are great pop songs. I'm now going to see if I'm right about this. And knowing him, just said, okay, now I'm just going to give you some learned advice. Move this over here, do this. I would add a violin here. I would use this much reverb here. I would do this, 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 and this. But he probably didn't try to mess with it. So you were ready to make this record. And what you did is you found a partner in crime that was, I'm not using a drug term, but he was going, but I will anyway, that he was going to enable you to make the very, very, very most incredible version of the record you wanted to make. Is that the role that John Bryan played?
For me, it kind of just gave me, it was a kind of like a confidence boost because John Bryan is the pickiest man on earth. He doesn't work with just anybody. So to me, it was kind of like, okay, we're doing something right that John wants to work with us. And B, I knew that John wouldn't want to change things and wouldn't want to step all over mine and Bob's way of doing things, but I knew that he would just really want to enhance the sound. And Bob said in an interview once that we did that before we were in black and white and now we're in Technicolor. And I think that that's like exactly what John did. He took us from like being this sort of band that wrote these really great songs and had good melodies and you know, was writing fun, upbeat, summer, love, lovey-dovey kind of, you know, whatever songs. But we were not, production-wise, we weren't really, like, I don't think we were really, like, at our peak. And I think with working with John on this record, like, he got us to that point of, like, what we probably originally wanted to sound like, but didn't have the time nor the tools to do so.
It seems that Pitchfork, in their review, they're annoyed by the lack of distortion.
Can I just say
that? They're disappointed in you. Because you blew your sound.
Okay, first of all, I didn't read the Pitchfork review because I could care less. To me, it's like if this is just sort of how we feel about anybody that said that the record sucked because we stepped it up a notch. It's like if we had made another lo-fi record, people would have hated on it. I understand that as part of this profession, you have to be able to like take criticism. And this record is about not really being able to take it. But I got to a point where I don't really care anymore. I don't pay attention to, I don't read reviews. I don't read articles. I see things that people tweet at me, but it doesn't bother me anymore. I just kind of laugh and roll my eyes. But the thing about this is that it's like, everybody was like, I just remember when Crazy Few came out and people were like, if only it were a little bit cleaner, if only I could like hear what you were saying. And now there are those same people are like, what happened to the reverb? Why did you change so much? And it's just like, people are just dumb. I'm not writing these like metaphorical, deep, meaningful lyrics. I'm just talking about what goes on in my life, and what goes on in my life is relatable to a lot of people in the world. And I think that the reading, like getting to a point where like people are even taking the time out to write about you, like when you first experience that, you get very like excited about it and you want to see everything, and then you realize like, well, people aren't always so nice. But can I just say one thing about that Pitchfork thing? That, because I didn't read it, so I didn't even know that quote existed. Crazy For You, also same song structures. Didn't have middle eights. Didn't have bridges on every single song. And they loved that record.
Now, I just want to touch on some irony. I think it's totally ironic, given that these people are, you know, love just, pun intended, ripping you to shreds as much as they can and analyzing everything. And oh my God, she's writing about this boyfriend. She's writing about it. That you know a little bit about clothing. Rumor has it you kind of lived that a little bit, and now there's Urban Outfitters. So is that going to be another thing that they're going to find a way to do something with, or are you just damn excited about it because it's kind of like a full circle?
Anything I do, literally. If I have a bowl of cereal in the morning and I talk about it, someone's going to hate on it. I've realized that doesn't matter if I do things that are beneficial to the world or don't mean anything to anybody but myself, somebody's going to dislike it. And I don't really care anymore. It's like when somebody asks you when you're 25 years old and you're a female and you love clothing and you went to school for it temporarily and you have experience in it, and somebody comes up to you and says, do you want to design a clothing line? You say yes to that because it's a pretty huge opportunity. If somebody asked Bob to design guitar pedals, he would do it. Bob loves music equipment. That's Bob's thing. My thing is clothes. And so for me, it was like, when they asked me to do it, I was like, of course. And I knew, I mean, the second I was asked, I knew that there were going to be people that were like, you know, this girl sucks, blah, blah, like everything. But I didn't care. Like, that kind of stuff doesn't stop me from doing things. I just don't care anymore.
I said I wanted to do this band with Bethany before she even played me a single song, just because I liked her voice and I knew we liked a lot of the same things. So it seemed like it would just be something really fun and good to do, and we got along really well. And then, but yeah, it could have gone either way. She could have sent me a song and I could have been like, oh man, what am I gonna do? But instead she sent me a song and I was like, oh, this is so great, and I'm so excited, and immediately started working on the songs, and we just hit the ground running after that.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs is the bread and songs by anybody else you want to play in between.